ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸಹಶ್ರೀ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸಹಶ್ರೀ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ನಿತಾಯ್ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ನಿತಾ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ್ವ ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತೀರ್ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತೀ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 12 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 4 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ದ ಫೋರ್ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅನಿಹಿಲೇಷನ್. We'll read a text number 24 and 25. Text number 24. Deepascha chakshuscha rupam cha jyotishona prutakbhavet evam dikani matrascha ನಸ್ಯುರ್ ಅನ್ಯತಮಾದೃತಾತ್. ದೀಪಶ್ಚಕ್ಷುಶ್ಚ ರೂಪಂ ಚ ಜ್ಯೋತಿಷೋಣ ಪೃಥಕ್ ಭವೇತ್ ಏವಂ ದೀಖಾನಿ ಮಾತ್ರಾಶ್ಚ ನಸ್ಯುರನ್ಯತಮಾದೃತಾತ್ ದೀಪಶ್ಚಕ್ಷುಶ್ಚ ರೂಪಂ ಚ ಜ್ಯೋತಿಷೋಣ ಪೃಥಕ್ ಭವೇತ್ ಏವಂ ದೀಖಾನಿ ಮಾತ್ರಾಶ್ಚ ನಸ್ಯುರನ್ಯತಮಾದೃತಾತ್. దీపశ్చక్షుశ్చ రూపం చ జ్యోతిషోణ పృథక్ భవేత్. జ్యోతిషోణ పృథక్ భవేత్. Word to word translation. Deepaha, a lamp. Chakshu, a perceiving eye. Cha, and. Rupam, a perceived form. Cha, and. Jyotishaha, from the original element fire. Na, not. Prithak, distinct. Bhavet, or evam, in the same way, the intelligence, khani, the senses, matra, the perceptions, cha, and nasyu, they are not, anyatamat, which is itself completely distinct, ritat, from the reality. Translation: a lamp, the eye that views by the light of that lamp, and the visible form that is viewed are all basically non-different from the element fire. In the same way, intelligence, the senses, and the sense perceptions have no existence separate from the supreme reality. Although that absolute truth remains totally distinct from them. Read the next verse also, translation and purport. Buddher jagaranam swapna sushuptiriti chochyate maya matramivam idam rajan నానాత్వం ప్రత్యగాత్మని. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై ద డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: ద త్రీ స్టేట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఆర్ కాల్డ్ వేకింగ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్, స్లీప్ అండ్ డీప్ స్లీప్. బట్ మై డియర్ కింగ్, ద వరేగేటెడ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ క్రియేటెడ్ ఫార్ ద ప్యూర్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ by these different states are nothing more than illusion. Purport: pure Krishna consciousness exists beyond the various stages of material awareness. Just as darkness vanishes in the presence of light, so illusory material intelligence, which is experienced as normal perception, dreaming, and deep sleep, completely vanishes in the brilliant presence of pure Krishna consciousness, the constitutional condition of every living entity.
Omajnanat mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuron militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namavo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాతి దశతారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాదార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। So we are reading from the 12th canto, 4th chapter, the four categories of annihilation. So we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, almost Shukadev Goswami's teachings to Parikshit Maharaj is coming to an end in the next chapter. And then we have eight more chapters in which Suta Goswami continues the narration to the sages of Naimisharanya. So in this particular, Shukadev Goswami's conversation with Parikshit Maharaj began in the second canto, first chapter. And we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning of Shukadev Goswami's speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, it begins with the creation pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And then at the end of the Shukadev Goswami's teaching, he's actually concluding with the different types of annihilation, the destruction pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So right in the second canto, fourth chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Shukadev Goswami, Bhūya eva vivitsāmi Bhagavān ātma māyaya yatedam srijate viśvam durvibhāvyam adīśvarai. He says that, I am begging to know from you how the Supreme Personality of Godhead by His personal energies creates this phenomenal universes. How the Lord actually creates the material universes, please explain this to me. Yatedam srijate viśvam durvibhāvyam adīśvarai. This, how the Lord creates this creation pastimes, this is durvibhāvyam, inconceivable even to the great devatas headed by Brahma and others. Adishwarai. So Parikshit Maharaj, when he asked a question that at the end of the first canto, what should a person hear and what should a person not hear? What should a person hear, chant and remember, or what one should not hear, chant and remember? Shukadev Goswami told that Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichata Bayam. If you want to be freed from the fear, if a person wants to become freed from the fear, one should hear, chant and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yetavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishtaya Janma Labha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smritihi. The highest perfection one can attain by the performance of prescribed duties or by the practice of Jnana Marga or by the Ashtanga Yoga Marga, the highest perfection is that to remember the Supreme Lord Narayana at the time of death. So Shukadev Goswami gave these answers in the second canto, first chapter. But in the fourth chapter, Parikshit Maharaj is asking a question. Please describe about how the Lord creates this material world. So, Prabhupada writes such a beautiful purport to this particular verse. Like, for Parikshit Maharaj, the time was very short. He has only 7 days to live. So, naturally speaking, Parikshit Maharaj could have directly asked about the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. And Shukadev Goswami could have directly jumped to the 10th canto pastimes. But neither Parishit Maharaj nor Shukadev Goswami, they directly jumped to the 10th canto pastimes of the Lord. Rather, they proceeded systematically. Because by this they are actually teaching us how the future hearers and the speakers of Bhagavatam should follow this gradual systematic procedure. And so therefore, just like anything, like even any ordinary thing, like so many things which we do in our day-to-day life, we follow a systematic procedure. If you are making a pakoda, like first you have to allow the oil to get heated and then you put the pakoda vegetable with the basin. So if we become impatient, if we try to put the vegetable with the basin with before the oil gets heated, so we will not get the proper pakoda. Or in making a rice and any item, there is a gradual process which should be followed in order to obtain the desired result. So similarly, Shukadev Goswami and Parishit Maharaj, although for Parishit Maharaj the time was short, but still he followed that systematic procedure. So Prabhupada is emphasizing that. So therefore he says that one should not directly jump to the pastimes of Krishna with his internal energy. First one should hear about the pastimes of Krishna with the external energy. So that is why Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Siddhanta Boliye Chitta Nakare Alasa Iha Hoite Krishna Lage Sudrida Manasa. One should not be lazy in trying to understand the Siddhanta, and especially in trying to understand the Lord's pastimes with this external energy, by which we can understand the greatness of the Supreme Lord, and which will help us to prepare for us to hear about the Krishna's pastimes with the internal energy. So those people, so the qualification for relishing the Vrindavan pastimes is by purifying ourselves by hearing the pastimes of Krishna with his external energy. And this we can see in the example of Parishit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami. And the same point is also emphasized by Shukadev Goswami in the second canto, Mayam Varnayato Mushya Ishwara Syanu Modataha Shrinvata Shaddaya Nityam Mayayatma Na Mukhyati. If the living entity constantly describes Maya in relation to the Supreme Lord and remembers Maya or hears about Maya with proper faith, then the living entity will not be bewildered by Maya. So, if the living entity remembers, hears, and describes the Lord's pastimes with the material energy, then one will not be bewildered by the material energy. Because Vishnu Chakatipad writes a beautiful purport. He says that the description of Maya as an assistance to the process of chanting, remembering and hearing is also bhakti. One should have faith that even Maya Shakti of the Lord, along with her expansions as Mahatattva and other elements, is a devotee with greatest devotion. So the Maya Shakti is a devotee of Krishna. So therefore, when we hear the Lord's pastimes with the Maya Shakti, it will assist us to actually hear about the later Krishna's pastimes in the Vrindavan, in Dwaraka, Mathura, etc. So therefore, by hearing this Lord's pastimes with the material energy, the jiva will not be bewildered by maya. And even the Upanishads also mention this point. Sambhutim cha vinasham cha yastad vedo ubayam saha vinashena mrityum tirtva sambhutya mritamashnute. One should know perfectly the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna and his transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation with its temporary devatas, men and animals. When a person knows both these, then a person surpasses the death, and then a person surpasses the temporary cosmic manifestation, and then he can attain the kingdom of God. So we see Upanishads also emphasize that in the importance of actually hearing, knowing actually Lord's pastimes with the material energy along with the Lord's pastimes with the spiritual energy. And even in the Lord Brahma's prayers in the third canto, Lord Brahma says that Shashvat Swarupa Mahasaiva Nipita Beda Mohaya Bodha Dishanaya Nama Parasmai Vishvodbhavastiti Layeshu Nimitta Leela Rasayate Namayidam Chakrameshwaraya. So Lord Brahma is offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord. He says that I offer respects to the Supreme Brahman, which destroys ignorance by its eternal effulgence of consciousness. And he gives intelligence by its realization. And then he says that I offer respects to the Supreme Lord, who enjoys with the Maya potency. Rasayate namayidam, that means who performs rasalila with the maya potency. How he performs rasalila with his maya potency? He performs his, I offer my respects to the garbhodakshai Vishnu and karanodakshai Vishnu, who performs rasalila with the maya potency by his glands for the sake of creating, maintaining and destroying the universe. So therefore, there are two rasalila. One is Krishna performing rasalila with the gopis. Another is Garbhodakshai Vishnu performing rasalila with the material energy by his glance over the material energy. That is also considered as a rasalila. So therefore, that and especially in order to hear Krishna's rasalila with the gopis, one has to develop the eligibility by first starting to hear about the Garbhodakshai Vishnu's rasalila with the material energy. So therefore, when we hear the creation pastimes of the Lord, it helps us to understand the Lord's greatness. And in contrast, when we hear about the annihilation pastimes of the Lord, the destruction pastimes of the Lord, it helps us to understand our own insignificance. And that these description pastimes are described towards the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam in these chapters. And even Vidur asks a question to Maitreya Rishi. Vidur asks that, Tattvanam Bhagavam Stesham Katida Pratisankramaha Tatremamka Upasiran Kausvid Anusherate. How many types of destruction are there for the various elements? So Vidura not only asked about the sadhana bhakti and about the sadhya bhakti, how to perform sadhana bhakti, sadhya bhakti, the description of prema, etc. But Vidur also asked about the the destruction of the material world. What are the different types of destruction? So, we see that Shukadeva Goswami is describing in this particular chapter four types of destruction. Nitya Pralaya, Naimittika Pralaya, Prakritika Pralaya, and Atyantika Pralaya. Nitya Pralaya means that destruction which happens at every moment. That is Nitya Pralaya. And Naimittika Pralaya means that destruction which happens at the end of Brahma's daytime. When his night begins. So that is the Naimittika Pralaya. So at that time, all the three planetary systems are subject to destruction. So Naimittika Pralaya means occasional destruction. So except for the higher planets like Satyaloka, Maharaloka, Tapaloka, all the other planets are actually destroyed. So this is Naimittika Pralaya. And then the third pralaya which Shukadeva Goswami described was Prakritika Pralaya. Prakritika Pralaya was described in verse number 7 to, I think, 22 in this particular chapter. So Prakritika Pralaya is the annihilation, destruction which happens at the end of the Brahma's lifetime. So at that time, the energies belonging to the Supreme Person and his unmanifest material nature disassembled by the force of time are deprived of their potencies, and then all the material energies, they merge back into the Supreme Lord totally. That is Prakritika Pralaya. The same exact reverse process what happened at the time of creation, at the time of creation, the unmanifest material nature becomes manifest, starting with the Lord's glance upon the material nature. At the time of annihilation, the manifest material nature becomes unmanifest, everything merges back into the Supreme Lord. That is Prakritika Pralaya. Now, in the verses which we are discussing today, in fact, starting from the 23rd verse of this chapter, we are discussing 24 and 25. Starting from the 23rd verse till the 34th verse of this chapter, the fourth type of pralaya, that is Atyantika Pralaya, is being described by Shukadeva Goswami. So, in the Atyantika Pralaya, in short, what it is, that pralaya where the false ego that binds the living entity, that false ego gets cut off. So in the previous three types of pralaya, the false ego is still there with the living entity. Even in Prakritika Pralaya, at the time of the annihilation, the end of Brahma's lifetime, all those living entities who have not perfected their lives, they simply go back, they simply sleep in the body of Mahavishnu. They still have their false ego. They sleep in the body of Mahavishnu. Again, in the next creation, they again get a chance to take birth. But Atyantika Pralaya is that pralaya where the illusory false ego which binds the living entity with the material creation, that false ego gets destroyed. That is why Atyantika Pralaya means the ultimate annihilation of the material existence of the living entity. And this subject matter is being described in this section of the Bhagavatam, in this chapter, 23rd verse till the 34th verse. So, we see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we see a comparison between Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, the underlying mood of the Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight the battle mam anusmara yudhyacha. The context of the Bhagavad Gita was that Arjuna wanted to escape his Kshatriya Dharma by giving Krishna consciousness as an excuse. Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tatkim karmani goremam niyo jayasi keshava. So this is the context of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna wanted to escape his Kshatriya Dharma by giving Krishna consciousness as an excuse. And the underlying mood of Krishna in speaking the Bhagavad Gita is that you must perform your Kshatriya Dharma in the mood of Nishkama Karma Yoga while remembering me in the spirit of devotion to me. And we find this mood even at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that yad ahankaram ashritya nayatsya iti manyase mityaisha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshati. If you do not act according to my direction, if you do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. And because your nature is a Kshatriya, even if you go to the forest, you will be forced by your nature and you will end up fighting with somebody in the forest. Svabhava jena kaunteya nibaddha svena karmana kartum nechasi enmohat. He says that you will be forced by your nature, you will end up fighting there in the forest. So therefore, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita telling Arjuna to don't actually go away from your Kshatriya Dharma. You must perform your Kshatriya Dharma while remembering me. Whereas in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the underlying mood, the underlying context of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that Parishit Maharaj has come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam at the appropriate time after renouncing his kingdom and everything, at the appropriate time. Whereas Arjuna was exhibiting the detachment not at an appropriate time. He was exhibiting untimely detachment. Whereas Parishit Maharaj was exhibiting detachment at the right time. So therefore, if we see, right from the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the mood of Shukdev Goswami, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was telling in the beginning that api trailokya rajyasya heto kimnu mahikrite. He says that even if I get an unrivaled kingdom in the end, all the three planets, but I do not wish to fight. In fact, I prefer to beg in the forest. Better than killing my grandfather and my teacher and enjoying the kingdom which is tainted with the blood, better I actually beg in the forest. So Arjuna wanted to leave the life of a beggar as a sannyasi. But Krishna discouraged that. Krishna actually said that even if you go to the forest, if you become a sannyasi, you will end up fighting with somebody. So better you fight here for the sake of Dharma. Whereas in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, right from the very beginning, the second canto, second chapter, he says that Chirani kim patina santi dishanti bhiksham. What is the need of a cloth? Just go to the forest, you will find some tree barks and you can wear the tree barks. You can wear that as a cloth. Why do you need a pillow? Just use your hand as a pillow and sleep in the forest. And why do you worry about food? Nature has provided fruits and roots and you can be satisfied with that. And rivers are there which will actually satisfy your thirst. And why do you have to fear about the wild animals in the forest? Because the Supreme Lord is in the heart of every person and the Supreme Lord will protect everyone. So we see right from the beginning, Shukadeva Goswami is encouraging Parishit Maharaj about renunciation. Don't be afraid of living in the forest and don't be afraid of detachment. the Lord will protect you. And in the end of the Bhagavatam also, Shukadeva Goswami is actually giving that same spirit of detachment. We see in the 12th canto, 2nd chapter, when Shukadeva Goswami spoke about the names of the different kings, at the end of that he said that Yeye Bhupatayo Rajan Bunjate Bhuvamojasa Kalenate Krita Sarve Kata Matra Kata Sucha. My dear King Parikshit, all these kings who tried to enjoy the earth by their strength were reduced by the force of time to nothing more than historical accounts. So he is addressing Parikshit by the word Rajan. Is Shukadeva Goswami trying to reinforce his identity as a king? No, Shukadeva Goswami is trying to sarcastically address Parikshit Maharaj by the word Rajan. By that he is trying to say that all these names of the kings whom I mentioned, all these kings are Kata Matra Kata Sucha. They are nothing more than the historical accounts. They are simply names here. So therefore, don't be attached to your identity as a Rajan, as a Kshatriya, as a king. So Shukadeva Goswami is trying to prepare the consciousness of his disciple to become detached from all material identities which will pull him to actually stay in the material world. So Shukadeva Goswami, as the most merciful guru, devastated any possible attachment that he might have to the position of a king by showing the ultimate insignificance of such a position. So that is a mercy of a bona fide spiritual master. Although Shukadeva Goswami is speaking very bluntly about the so-called glory of the material world, but he is actually exhibiting his causeless mercy towards his disciple by trying to prepare his consciousness to go back to the spiritual world. So therefore, that we see in the same mood Shukadeva Goswami, that is why he is speaking the annihilation pastimes in this particular chapter, because by hearing the annihilation pastimes, by the hearing about these types of pralaya, these four types of pralaya, one can understand one's insignificant position. One can understand how one's departure from this material world is an insignificant event. How one can understand how our role in the material world, we will understand that how we are not indispensable. When we think that this service is below my dignity, or when we think that this service can be done only by me, means like I am indispensable, without me this service cannot go on. So that means we become attached to that identity. So Shukadeva Goswami is trying to say that you are not indispensable, your departure from the material world is going to be an insignificant event, therefore give up your attachment to the material world. So therefore he is actually speaking about this annihilation pastimes. So therefore, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, so for a person who is about to die, who is retired, who is about to die, he has to reduce his duties related to the material world, and he has to increase his direct devotional service. And whereas for a person who has his whole life ahead, he has to balance his Varnashram duties with the devotional service, and that is the mood of Bhagavad Gita, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. So therefore, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we should keep the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam in our heart, and we should apply the teachings of Bhagavad Gita in the practical world. especially for a person who has a whole life ahead of him. And for a person who is like at the fag end of his life, one should decrease one's varnashram duties and one should increase one's direct devotional service. And that is how we see the Srimad Bhagavatam here. And coming to the present verses, so in the previous verse where the Shukadeva Goswami begins the Atyantika Pralaya, Shukadeva Goswami says that Buddhindriyartha Rupena Jnanam Bhati Tadashrayam Drishyatva Avyati Rekabhyam Adyantavad Avastuyat. He says that the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth, manifests in the form of the buddhi, intelligence, the senses, and the objects of sense perception. And the Brahman is the ultimate basis of everything. Brahman is the ultimate basis of everything. Jnanam bhati tad ashrayam. Sarvam kaluvidam Brahma. The Brahman is the basis of the intelligence, senses, and the sense perception, objects of sense perception. And Adyantavad avastuyat, whatever has a beginning and an end is ultimately insubstantial. Means like anything which is temporary, it is ultimately insubstantial. Because drishyatva avyati rekabhyam adyantavad avastuyat. So anything which has a beginning and end is insubstantial. Because of being an object perceived by the limited senses and because of being non-different from its own cause. So, he says that essentially Brahman is the ultimate basis of everything. And anything which we see in this world, which is temporary, is ultimately insubstantial. And even Krishna says that, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yone evate. Adyantavat kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Intelligent people, they do not actually take pleasure in those happiness which has a beginning and end. So, and then in the current verse, so therefore, in the material world, we see lot of varieties. Varieties of sense perception, varieties of sense objects. But the variety in the material world is unreal in the sense that it is temporary. When the Mayavadis say that Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, this material world is false, they say that this material world does not exist only. Whereas the Vaishnava understanding, the right understanding is that the material world is real, but it is illusory in the sense that it is temporary. So whatever material variety which we see is ultimately temporary. Whereas the variety in the spiritual world is the ultimate reality. The variety in the spiritual world, the Lord's paraphernalia, Lord's devotees, Lord's qualities, Lord's abode, and they are all eternal beyond the gunas. So Krishna says that Nirguno mad apashraya. Nirguno mad apashraya. Man niketam tu nirgunam. My abode is beyond the gunas. A worker who has taken shelter of me is transcendental to the modes of nature. So anything in the material world is temporary. So therefore all material varieties are temporary, but the spiritual variety is actually real and permanent. And then in the current verse, Shukadeva Goswami says that Deepascha Chakshuscha Rupamcha Jyotisho Na Prithak Bhavet. A lamp, Deepa, and a Chakshu, the eye that actually views by the light of the lamp, and Rupam, the visible form which is viewed, all these are non-different from the element fire. Because all these are different aspects of the fire element. Fire element only manifests as the lamp and as the and as the eye and as the particular object which is viewed. But in the same way, the intelligence, Evam di kani matrascha nasyur anyatamadritat. In the same way, the intelligence, the senses, and the sense perceptions have no existence separate from the supreme reality. And that is what Krishna says in the Gita. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. After many, many births, a person who is really knowledgeable comes to the understanding that Lord Vasudeva is all in all. So in the same way, the intelligence, the senses and sense perceptions have no existence separate from the supreme reality, although that absolute truth remains totally distinct from them. And this is the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That the whole material creation is non-different from the absolute truth, because the whole material creation is the energy of the absolute truth. At the same time, the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, is distinct from the material creation. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastitah. So the whole material universe is pervaded by me, but still I am distinct from them, Krishna says in the 9th chapter. So therefore, to see this oneness as well as the difference, and that is the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, that is the philosophy of the Vedic literatures. In fact, when to see the oneness and when to see the difference, that is the maturity of a spiritual practitioner. So many times when we are expected to see the oneness, where we focus more on difference. For example, with other Gaudiya Vaishnava traditions, or with other Vaishnava sampradayas, we are supposed to see the oneness and remain united with them and cooperate with them. Other Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradayas, other Gaudiya organizations, they have the same philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or even other Vaishnava sampradayas, although their philosophy they may be slightly different, but still they accept the supremacy of Vishnu, they accept the eternality of the path of bhakti, they accept how the jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna. And even with the other, one can even unite with the Advaita Sampradaya on the platform of Dharma, on the platform of accepting Vedas as an authority, and on the platform of Sanatan Dharma. So therefore, when to see, but on the other hand, those religious groups which are outside the purview of the Vedic religion, where we have to see the difference. So, when to see the oneness and when to see the difference and apply that in our practical life, so that becomes the key. That shows the maturity of a person. So in this particular verse, Shukadeva Goswami says that the intelligence, senses and sense perceptions have no existence separate from the supreme reality, although that absolute truth remains totally distinct from them. And then the next verse, he says that Buddher Jagaranam Swapna Sushuptir Iti Chochyate. Buddher Jagaranam Swapna. The three states of intelligence called as Jagruti, Swapna and Sushupti. The waking stage, dreaming state and a deep sleep. And these are the three states. And Maya Matram Idam Rajan Nanatvam Pratyagatmani. So my dear king, the variegated experiences created for the pure living entity by these different states are nothing more than illusion. So we'll discuss it. Maya Matram Idam Rajan. That means these three states, that is Jagrati, Swapna and Sushupti. So what is the state of Jagrati? The state of Jagrati is a state where like when Atma is in touch with the mind and the mind is in touch with the senses and the senses are in touch with the sense objects. This is called as the Jagruti state. Like you can perceive any sense object when the senses come in contact with the sense object. But only that is not sufficient. The mind should be also in contact with the senses. Because sometimes we are going in the road and our senses may be in contact with the sense object. But still we may not notice that because our mind is not in contact with that particular sense. So when the mind is in contact with the sense and the sense is in contact with the sense objects, then Atma, with the help of the mind, it perceives the sense object. This is called as the Jagruti state. And what is the Swapna? Swapna is nothing but Atma is in contact with the mind, but mind is not in contact with the senses. Mind is not in contact with the senses, so therefore there is no perception of the sense objects. So that is called as a Swapna. And what is Sushupti? Sushupti is a stage where even the Atma is not in contact with the mind. Technically speaking, when the mind enters what is called as the Puritat Nadi, at that time the Atma is not in contact with the mind. So at that time a person goes into deep sleep. In deep sleep, like when we are sleeping, sometimes when we are dreaming, so during the dreaming time our Atma is in contact with the mind. But when we are in deep sleep, Atma is not in contact even with the mind. And it is said that in the deep sleep, a person gets a glimpse of Brahman happiness. And the Lord gives a glimpse or experience of the spiritual happiness in the deep sleep. And because of that, a person becomes refreshed after going through a deep sleep. After going through dreaming state, one does not become refreshed. You might have slept for 8 hours, but if you are dreaming, you will not become refreshed after even 8 hours of sleep. But whereas if you had slept only for 2 hours, but a deep sleep, you become completely refreshed, because in the deep sleep, a person, Lord gives a glimpse of the Brahman happiness, a spiritual happiness, which is a natural state, and so that a living entity becomes refreshed after that. But beyond these three stages of Jagrati, Swapna and Sushupti, there is the fourth stage, which is called as a Turiya. And what is the Turiya stage? The Turiya stage is that stage where the Atma is in contact with the Supreme Atma, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of God. When the Atma comes in contact with the Supreme Atma, that is the stage of Atyantika Pralaya. And that is what the series of verses which we are reading today, the series of verses are culminating in that particular point of Atyantika Pralaya in the 34th verse of this chapter. When the Atma comes to the point of meditating on the Supreme Atma, at that stage, the false ego is completely dismantled. So, that is the stage of Turiya. And one example of a person who attained the Turiya stage. We see in the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, when he performed intense devotional service for 6 months, and finally when the Lord appeared in front of him, he offered such beautiful prayers. He says that Yonta pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptams Sanjeevayat akila shakti dara swadamna anyam cha hasta charana shravanatva gadin prana namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. He says, I offer my respects to the Supreme Lord, the possessor of all the powers, who entering within me has brought to life by his spiritual energy my power of speech, as well as my hands, feet, ears, skin and life years which I had been sleeping. Before this time, all my senses had been sleeping, but by your grace, by your internal energy, today I have been awakened. I have been awakened. So here, Prabhupada writes such a brilliant purport here. He says that Dhruva Maharaj could understand very easily the difference between his condition before and after attaining spiritual realization. And by seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. And he could actually realize that Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. And he could understand that all his activities before this stage, he had been only sleeping. So therefore Prabhupada says that unless a person comes to the spiritual platform, his bodily limbs, mind and other facilities are understood to be sleeping. So unless one is spiritually situated, all his activities are taken as dead man's activities or ghostly activities. So sometimes you may have experience of a ghost actually. So ghost has a subtle body but has no gross body. But if we see in another way, even a conditioned soul activity, conditioned soul who has a gross body, but who is actually, who has forgotten the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even that conditioned soul's activities, who has a gross body, his activities are also considered to be ghostly activities. His activities are also considered to be ghostly activities. Therefore, when a person is not in spiritual consciousness, all his activities, whether he is in the Jagruti stage or in the Swapna stage, his activities are considered to be ghostly activities. So that is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that, Jive Jago, Jive Jago, that whole conditioned souls, please get up, wake up from your sleep. How long have you been sleeping on the lap of Maya? Now you have the opportunity, you have got the human form of life, and wake up from your sleep. And even the Upanishads, the Vedas declare, Uttishta Uttishta Jagrata. They are declaring, they are calling out the living entities, wake up from your slumber and go towards the light. So therefore, Dhruva Maharaj is an example how he actually, when he came to the stage of Turiya, he offered those wonderful prayers, although you are just a 5-year-old boy. And in order to come to the stage of Turiya, to come to the platform of meditating on the Supreme Lord, uninterrupted meditation on the Supreme Lord. And in order to come to that stage, to meditate on the Supreme Lord, we'll discuss about one quality of the Supreme Lord, which will help us to focus on the Supreme Lord. So what is that quality? So if we see the planet Earth, Earth has got a Akarshana Shakti, the gravitational force. Bhu Akarshana Shakti is that, like whatever you throw up, the Earth actually pulls it down. That is the Bhu Akarshana Shakti. But Krishna also has the Akarshana Shakti. In fact, the very name Krishna means one who is all attractive. He attracts everyone towards himself. And what is the difference between Bhu Akarshana Shakti and Krishna's Akarshana Shakti? And Krishna's Akarshana Shakti is that whatever is low, Krishna actually elevates it to a higher platform. Earth, whatever is in the higher stage, earth actually pulls it down. But Krishna, whatever is in the low stage, Krishna actually pulls it up. Let us see some examples in this connection. Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers, Vipradvishad gunayuta daravindanaba padaravinda vimukad shvapacham varishtam manye tadarpita mano vachane hitartha pranam punati sakulam natuburimana. So Prahlad Maharaj says in this prayer, a Brahmana may have all the 12 qualities of which is expected of a Brahmana. But if that Brahmana is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, but if he is averse to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, then that Brahmana, he cannot even purify himself, what to speak of his own family. On the other hand, a person who is a dog eater, but if he is a devotee of Krishna, he can not only purify himself, but he can purify his entire family. And if you see, the normal hierarchy is that a Brahmana is considered to be the highest in the society. Rishabhadev, in his instruction to his sons, the fifth canto, fifth chapter, Rishabhadev talks about the gradations of the living entities. And then he concludes the gradation by saying that Brahmanas are the highest among the living entities. So according to the normal hierarchy, the Brahmana is the highest. And a dog eater is the lowest. He is somebody who is below the Shudra also. But then, when the Krishna's Akarshana Shakti comes, a Brahmana who is not attracted by Krishna, he becomes lower than a dog eater who becomes attracted by Krishna and who becomes a devotee of Krishna. And this is the Krishna's Akarshana Shakti. And another example, the normal hierarchy is that a sannyasi is higher than a grihastha, according to the Varnashram point of view. But a sannyasi who is not attracted by Krishna's Akarshana Shakti, he becomes lower than a grihastha who is attracted by Krishna's Akarshana Shakti. And this we see in the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. At the end of that pastime, externally it appears that Ambarish Maharaj was an attached grihastha and Durvasa Muni was a renounced sannyasi. But till the time Sudarshan came into the picture, Sudarshan revealed to the whole world who is actually greater, Ambarish or Durvasa. Therefore, Sudarshan means that which gives the real vision. So therefore, Durvasa Muni said that, Aho ananta dasanam makatvam drishta madhyame kritagasopi yadrajan mangalani samihase. He said that today I have experienced the greatness of the devotees of Krishna because although I have committed an offense, but Ambarish Maharaj has prayed for my good fortune. So that Sudarshan actually revealed to Durvasa Muni who is actually a greater. So Ambarish Maharaj was a grahastha who is superior to Durvasa Muni because there is an element of Krishna's Akarshana Shakti. And that is why Mahaprabhu, when he was going to South Indian Yatra, he begged, he asked blessings from Sarvam Bhattacharya. And Sarvam Bhattacharya said that, I am a grahastha, you are a sannyasi, how can I give blessings to you? And Mahaprabhu said that, a grahastha who is worshipping Krishna at home, and who is chanting the holy names of Krishna, he is fit to give blessings even to a sannyasi. In that way, the Krishna's Akarshana Shakti reverses the hierarchy. And another example of this is that Vritrasur and Indra. The normal hierarchy is that a demon, a devata is superior to a asura. But in the Vritrasur's episode, Prabhupada says in a purport, when Vritrasur was speaking to Indra, Vritrasur said that Loka sa pala yasyeme shvasanti vivasha vashe dvija ivashicha baddha sa kala iha karanam. So Indra lost his enthusiasm to fight the battle when he threw his club, and Vritrasur nonchalantly, he actually caught that club and then threw that club back towards Indra. And then Indra fell down from the Airavata. And Indra lost all his enthusiasm to fight. At that time, Vritrasur started speaking to Indra. He said that, in this world, the conditioned souls, Yuyutsatam kutrachit atatayinam jayas sadaikatra navai paratmanam. In this world, the conditioned souls are sometimes victorious and sometimes they get defeated. But only the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always victorious. And those living entities who depend on the Supreme Lord, they are also always victorious. Although from material platform, material point of view, they may get defeated. But those who depend on the Supreme Lord, they will be eventually victorious. In other words, that the real victory is to depend on the Supreme Lord. So Vritrasur said that all the living beings in the planets of the universe, including the devatas, are fully under the control of the Supreme Lord. And they work in this world like birds caught in a net who cannot move independently. So Prabhupada says that the difference between the Sura and Asura is that the Suras know that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Lord. Whereas the Asuras, they cannot understand the Supreme will of the Lord. Asuras think that everything is under my control. So when a person thinks that everything is under my control, or when a person thinks that I am the doer, and that will result in the person becoming excited or a person becoming morose. And that is what we see in the character of Indra. Indra in his fight with Bali Maharaj, when he was winning the battle, he became actually elated. That time Bali Maharaj speaks to Indra that, intelligent people, those who are really knowledgeable, they don't become elated. They don't become elated by their victory. They are equipoised in nature. And Indra, in his fight with Vritrasur, when he was getting defeated, he became morose. So both this consciousness of moroseness and elation, they are the result of thinking oneself to be the doer and forgetting that everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord. And Vritrasur is telling Indra that, understand that ultimately everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, you just perform your duty and you fight me, and this Vajrayudha will not be useless. With this Vajrayudha, you can kill me. So Prabhupada says that in this fight, Vritrasur is actually the Sura, whereas Indra is the Asura. And no one can act independently, rather everyone acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, we see that because of Krishna's Akarshana Shakti, the hierarchy got reversed. Indra became an asura and Vritrasur became asura. And we see another example of Krishna's Akarshana Shakti. Like this material world is considered to be Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. It is a place of misery. But a person who is attracted by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for him, the material world becomes Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Vidhi Mahendradischa Kitayate. So Prabodhananda Saraswati says that for a person who has received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for him this world becomes becomes filled with bliss. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. So this Krishna's Akarshana Shakti, this is manifest in this particular month of Purushottam, where this month, which was considered to be the Malamas, which was considered to be the lowest among all the months, because of Krishna's Akarshana Shakti, this month became the most auspicious of all the months. So therefore, if we meditate on this quality of Krishna's Akarshana Shakti, of actually making the lowest or even as the highest, that will help us to come to the point of actually Turiya, or meditation on the Supreme Absolute Truth, and which is the stage of Atyantika Pralaya, or which is the stage of actually cutting off our false ego with the material world. So to summarize what we discussed today, I discussed about the importance of hearing creation pastimes of the Lord, how in the Srimad Bhagavatam Shukadeva Goswami begins with the creation pastimes, he concludes with the pastimes of annihilation, and we discussed about the mood of Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we discussed about the four types of pralaya described in this chapter, and the four states of consciousness, Jagrati, Swapna, Sushupti and Turiya, and the relation between Turiya and the Atyantika Pralaya. And Atyantika Pralaya is a stage where a person cuts off his false ego with the material world, and a person actually comes to the point of meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in order to help us to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we discuss about the Krishna's Akarshana Shakti, which actually reverses the hierarchy, which actually elevates something which is low to the highest platform, through the example of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers and Vritrasura and Indra and Ambarish Maharaj and Dhruvasmani's episode. And he concluded with because of Krishna's Akarshana Shakti, this Malamas is elevated to the most auspicious month. So therefore, the presiding deity of this month is Lord Krishna, who is called as the Purushottama. So I'll stop here. I think it's 9:30. I'll end the class here. Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai.